Welcome to this deep dive.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring understanding startups and entrepreneurship.
Oh, this is a fun one.
It really is. And just to set the stage, in the video overview, we introduced the main innovation and startup ideas behind this lesson. In this audio deep dive, we will go further by exploring real entrepreneurial situations, practical challenges, experimentation, feedback, and how ideas become action. If you have not watched the video yet, that is completely fine. This session will still guide you clearly and practically. After listening, use the study guide to review the key concepts and complete the workbook to apply them through opportunity discovery, idea testing, or startup planning.
So we're really getting into the actual mechanics of it today.
Exactly. Because, you know, we've all heard that classic myth of the genius founder, the one who like sketches a billion-dollar idea on a napkin at a coffee shop.
Right, and then they just lock themselves in a room for a year.
Yeah, and then they magically emerge with this, you know, perfect product that just changes the world overnight. But what if I told you that the most successful startups don't actually start with a stroke of solitary genius?
They rarely do.
Right. They actually begin with a pretty ugly, broken prototype that almost everyone ignores. So today, we are tearing down that glamorous startup hype. Yeah. We're going to uncover what really turns a raw idea into a scalable reality.
And I think that's such a critical shift in perspective. Our core mission here is to fundamentally unpack how entrepreneurship is really about identifying real-world opportunities.
Real-world problems, yeah.
Exactly. It's about creatively solving unmet needs, not just chasing profits or venture capital. The financial success is, well, it's really just a byproduct of how well you solve a problem for actual human beings.
I love that. And I want to establish a baseline right away because, I mean, you listening, you're an aspiring innovator. You already know a startup isn't just a tiny version of a large corporation.
Right. It's a completely different beast.
Yeah. But the language still gets muddy, you know.
Yeah.
We hear about traditional businesses versus startups. Let's break down that difference. Like, traditional businesses focus on stable operations and predictable growth. Right.
Exactly. If you look at a traditional business, they operate in an environment of known variables. They basically know the business model, they know who the customer is, and they just want to execute that model efficiently.
Okay, let's unpack this. So running a traditional business sounds like driving a train on pre-laid tracks.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
But running a startup sounds like trying to build an airplane while you're already in free fall.
I mean, honestly, yes. That is the exact feeling, because startups operate in environments characterized by extreme uncertainty, rapid change, and just continuous adaptation.
So the tracks haven't been laid at all?
No tracks whatsoever. Startups are out there tackling massive problem areas. I mean, we're talking education, healthcare, communication, transportation, finance, sustainability, and digital services.
Huge spaces.
Right. And because you're in these massive spaces, your initial assumptions are almost guaranteed to be wrong. You don't know the terrain.
Which, okay, that naturally brings up a huge question. If startups face so much uncertainty, from funding to market changes, why not just stick to the traditional, predictable business model? Why put yourself through that?
Well, the why really comes down to impact. And innovation, I mean, traditional businesses, they keep the economy running today.
Sure.
But entrepreneurship, that drives economic growth, job creation, and social progress for tomorrow. Without it, technological progress just slows down.
Right. Communities wouldn't get those valuable new solutions.
That's exactly. We'd be stuck with the same legacy systems forever. So the upside of taking on that free fall, as you called it, is just exponential for society.
Okay. So then, because the environment is so chaotic, how do founders actually build something people want without just, you know, failing immediately?
Well, you survive that free fall by relying on a highly structured process. It's called the startup learning cycle.
The startup learning cycle. Okay.
Yeah. It's a loop. Identify, build, learn, adapt, and improve.
Identify, build, learn, adapt, improve.
You got it. Managing extreme risk is all about experimentation and leaning heavily, and I mean heavily, on customer feedback.
Right, because you have to learn what actually works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that ties right into the concept of scalability, which is basically growing while maintaining efficiency and value delivery.
So you can't just scale a broken idea. Scalability without value is like pouring gasoline on a fire. Mm-hmm. You need a human-centered spark to catch first. The learning cycle is basically your engine. And human-centered design is your steering wheel.
That is a perfect analogy. because human-centered entrepreneurship prioritizes meaningful value creation, simplicity, trust, and long-term impact.
It's kind of a funny contradiction, isn't it?
How so?
Well, startups are known for being hyper-focused on tech and massive growth, but the most successful ones only survive by being deeply empathetic to unmet needs and human frustrations.
Exactly. If you fall in love with your code instead of the human being using it, you'll crash. Your steering wheel is that empathy.
Okay, let's move from the theoretical engine to a real-world test drive. Let's look at founders who actually navigated this exact cycle.
Let's do it.
We have this digital learning startup case study from our source material. So there was a group of grads who saw traditional education had major issues. High costs, limited flexibility, accessibility barriers, and it just totally lacked practical skills alignment.
Right. The problem was glaring, but the solution was a huge unknown.
Yeah. Their vision was to build a platform with flexible online access, a mobile-first design, and career-oriented content.
Which sounds great, but the uncertainty they faced was massive. They had huge risks regarding user adoption, tech infrastructure, and competition.
I mean, going up against traditional universities is no joke.
Exactly. So instead of locking themselves away to build a perfect platform, they took action using that learning cycle.
So they didn't just launch the whole thing at once?
No, not at all. They launched simplified learning experiences. They put something basic out there, gathered learner feedback, and adapted based on what users actually needed.
But wait, here's where it gets really interesting. Doesn't launching a simplified or imperfect experience risk damaging your brand right out of the gate? People are judgmental. Like, if I use a clunky app, I just delete it.
Oh, that is such a common fear. But we need to look at the bigger picture here. You have to avoid the trap of assumptions.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, releasing a simplified version is actually a strategic tool to reduce uncertainty. It's so much better to learn early on that you are building the wrong thing than to spend years building a perfect version of something nobody actually wants.
Oh, wow. So a bruised ego early on is better than a bankrupt company later.
Exactly. You isolate your riskiest assumption and test just that. It's a strategic trade-off.
I want to shift the focus from these case study founders directly to you, the listener. Think about your own life right now. What frustrations exist in your day-to-day? What inefficiencies drive you crazy?
I love this because structured reflection actually improves entrepreneurial thinking.
Yeah, we want you to view those daily frustrations not just as annoyances you have to deal with, but as actual market gaps.
Or emerging opportunities. I always say strong entrepreneurs are essentially professional problem solvers.
So if our listener is identifying these frustrations, what are the core startup thinking questions they should be asking?
They should be asking, what real-world problems matter most? What opportunities are emerging here? What assumptions require testing? And how can solutions remain adaptable?
Okay, so now that they're actively looking for problems, how do they practically test and develop an opportunity?
We can use a four-step exploration framework for this.
Break that down for us.
Sure. Step one is identifying a real-world problem. So maybe it's healthcare accessibility or digital productivity.
Right, finding the specific friction.
Exactly. Step two is analyzing the opportunity. Who else has this problem? Step three is to reflect on the risks and how the solution improves lives meaningfully.
And step four?
Step four is to ensure human-centered value, keeping it simple and focused on the user.
Okay, but let's get really practical here. So what does this all mean for someone sitting at their desk with a notebook full of ideas? How do they keep track of all this experimentation without getting totally overwhelmed by the chaos of a startup?
Yeah, managing extreme uncertainty absolutely requires systems. You can't just use a messy notebook. Yeah. I always recommend using practical digital tools to organize the chaos.
Like what? What's your go-to stack?
Well, Canva, Notion, and Trello are fantastic.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Take Notion, for example. It's brilliant for documentation. You can map out every single assumption you're making about your idea.
So it's like a database for your risks.
Exactly. And then for tracking the actual build, learn, adapt cycle, Trello is perfect. You use it to physically track which assumptions you are testing and what data you're gathering.
Okay, but what about the build phase? What if our listener isn't a coder?
That's where Canva comes in. You can use it to prototype simplified visual experiences. You don't need to code an entire app. You just mock up what it would look like and see if people actually want to click on it.
Wow, so you're just testing the intent before you spend a dime on development.
Precisely. It grounds the experimentation practically.
Bringing this deep dive to a close, it really comes down to synthesizing the core mindset of a resilient founder, doesn't it?
It really does. Adaptability and continuous learning are what strengthen resilience.
Because you're going to be wrong at first.
Oh, almost certainly. And that's okay. The founders who succeed are the ones willing to drop their original assumptions the moment the feedback tells them to.
It's all about following the data. Now, for those listening who want to dig deeper into these mechanics, what should they be reading?
I highly recommend checking out The Lean Startup 0-1 and The Startup Owner's Manual.
Absolute classics.
They are essential reading for anyone serious about this space.
I couldn't agree more. So I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. The next time you catch yourself saying, I wish there was a better way to do this, stop and realize you might have just found your first startup opportunity. Are you brave enough to test it?
That is the ultimate question. And remember, innovation grows through curiosity, experimentation, and practical learning.
It really does. So please, review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities.
Yes, put this into practice. We also need to acknowledge the academic references used for this lesson, ISO 3L11.
And again, a huge shout out to the Lean Startup 0-1 and the Startup Owner's Manual for those wanting to dig even deeper into the reading. Thanks for hanging out with us on this deep dive.
It's been great.
We'll see you in the next one.